Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Let's listen together. To what? To our imaginations. Why? Because no one else is listening. We can get together in the privacy of our own heads, and no one will bother us here. Just you and me, my friend, late at night, and far, far away, alone in our minds.
Morning.
Morning, Lou.
Is there coffee?
Yes, but first come here and look at this.
I hope it's my coffee cup saying, "Hey, I'm here for you, buddy."
Look out there and tell me what you see.
Smell me.
What?
That's still my coffee cup talking.
Look out there and tell me what you see.
Utter darkness, distant stars.
Anything else?
Nope, just vast empty space.
Oh,
and distant stars.
That seem unusual?
Usually there's the backyard and trees and patio furniture, but I guess not today.
Does that seem odd to you?
A little. But also, that's not really our kitchen window, so maybe not all that odd.
So the fact that there's a strange window looking out onto vast empty space is not completely and utterly crazy to you?
Why can't you just say what you mean? We woke up and we're in some sort of room floating in space.
Oh, that's what you're getting at.
Yes, this is not crazy to you.
Not really.
That we are in a strange room looking out into space.
Not strange. We could be on a space station.
Why would we be on a space station?
Maybe we're astronauts.
Suddenly we're astronauts.
We've probably been astronauts for a while. I think you have to train.
Then why don't we remember that we are astronauts?
We don't need to remember. We are constantly reminded by the fact that we are floating in space, surrounded by stars.
At least there's coffee.
Space coffee!
I woke up in what I thought was our house, and I come to the kitchen, and it's not our kitchen, but a spaceship kitchen.
Life is wonderful and full of pleasant surprises.
I woke up once, and there was a tree through the roof of the kitchen. You used to not be able to see the sky from the kitchen table, but that morning you could.
None of this bothers you.
Look, I just try to roll with the punches. If today I'm in a spaceship floating through the cosmos, then so be it.
I'm more concerned with things like, will I be able to have the breakfast I like?
Where is our yard and the house and what is going on?
Can't you just enjoy life? Why is everything a question?
First of all, we are always floating through space. You just can't see it. Someone just removed the yard that was blocking the view.
You are finally seeing things as they truly are. And there's breakfast.
But I have no memory of this.
I see pictures of me doing stuff from when I was a kid, and I literally have no memory of them. Like this one, of me and my grandfather throwing a ball.
That's not a photo. That's a panel from Nancy. That's Sluggo throwing a ball.
I don't know.
Butchie's right, though. The past is largely obscured. I accept the present with all its mysteries.
Well, it sure is beautiful out there.
See? Now you are seeing the stars for what they are.
Hey, this gauge says we only have an hour of air left.
What? What are we gonna do with a whole hour?
So this is all just temporary? That's just now news to you?
Well, what are we going to do?
Exactly. That's what I was just saying to Butchie. I'm thinking cards.
Cards? You want to waste your last moments playing cards? How is it any more of a waste to play cards now than it was a year ago? An hour is an hour.
Yes, but this may be our last hour.
That could have been our last one back then.
Aren't we wasting time?
How do you waste something that you can't define? Time is like the non-dairy creamer of infinite regeneration. No matter how much you use, there's always the same amount left.
Yeah, let's spend the whole time trying to figure out where we are, and then in the last seconds, figure it out in one final fatal explosion of irony.
Maybe we should just go about our business, as if we've always just been floating in a space kitchen drinking coffee.
That would be my advice. Coffee?
Thanks, I'd love some.
What's that one mean?
That is the window of stars. It symbolizes place.
Ah, and that one?
That is the infinite non-dairy creamer. It symbolizes time. Oh, look, the bag of hammers.
Is that good?
It is neither good nor bad.
Okay.
And the king of mattresses.
So, what is my fortune?
Well, looks good. Fortune's fine. No obvious problems. Just make an appointment for 1 year from now on your way out. You should be good.
Nothing more specific?
I mean, you know, just the basics. Don't worry about the future or past. Try balancing things, I guess.
Okay, well, thank you.
Also, you should get your own deck for use at home so you can monitor your fortune as you make lifestyle changes.
I guess I can get some of those online.
Sure. And just remember, don't take your fortune after some small disappointment. It'll taint things.
Ah, okay, good advice.
Lollipop?
No, I'm good.
What do you see there?
2 chairs.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So are those 2 so-called chairs identical?
No, but they're both chairs.
But they are different sizes and shapes, and at the molecular level, atomic level, they contain different amounts of things.
Yes, but they are 2 chairs.
Why?
Well, they are discrete, separate chairs.
So that makes them 2 things.
Yes.
But at the smallest level, you will see that there is not a clear line between the molecules in the chair and the air around them. So the chair is more of a dense point of matter than a separate thing.
Okay.
So when you say there is 2 of something, first you're making up a name for that thing, chair, that it doesn't intrinsically have. Then you're basing its separateness on the limitations of your senses. You can't see how it's connected to the world, so you say it isn't.
All right, well, what are you getting at?
That you saying there are 2 chairs is subjective and meaningless unless you discount reality.
Well, it's close enough. Numbers may just be a general language about things, but they work. They have predictive qualities.
True, but they have limitations. Math is a convenient and useful fiction.
What are you guys talking about?
These 2 chairs.
2 chairs? You mean 1 chair and a stool?
No, that's a chair.
That's a stool. So 1 chair and 1 stool.
I rest my case.
What's that card?
The 2 of chairs.
Is that good?
It can mean that there is some conflict ahead.
And this one?
That is the queen of numbers.
Okay.
So would you like to hold or take another hit?
I think I'll take another card.
Ah, the 3 of memory. Sorry.
Sorry about what?
Sorry about what?
You said sorry.
I was just repeating what you said.
No, I mean when you turned the card over, you said sorry.
I did?
Yes.
Sorry.
You don't remember?
Remember what?
Saying sorry.
Just now, of course.
No, earlier when you turned the card over.
There are no cards.
So, you guys want to play cards?
No, I want to get out of here. Turn left.
I already did. We're going in a circle.
There's got to be an exit. We drove into this place. Let's just retrace our route.
We did already. We somehow got onto a loop and can't get out.
This is a drive-through animal preserve. People come in and leave all day.
Not today, though. Stuck here forever. I'm with Lou. Let's play cards.
Let's not. This is absurd. Can't we just ask for directions?
From whom? A llama?
That's a good one.
What did the llama say when the guy asked him what he was? Alpaca. I'm an alpaca.
I don't quite get it.
He wasn't a llama. He was an alpaca.
And?
Alpacas are smaller than llamas. That's why the guy got it wrong. There was never a llama. That's why calling the joke the llama to alpaca joke is inaccurate. It was always just an alpaca. Turn here at the camel.
We're just going to be right back where we started. Let's just pull over and live here now. Some struggles are just not worth it.
No, we do not live here now. This is ridiculous. It is not our fate to live in an animal preserve.
Mom, can I go see the radio guy exhibit at the zoo? Not until you've finished your cards. Ah, Mom, then can I go? I suppose. It's educational, after all. I get to see them in their own environment, which is in a kitchen, sitting around talking about doing work. I used to love the zoo when I was a child. My favorite exhibit were the captains of industry. They looked so important. These radio guys are more silly than majestic. I like to watch them hit each other with magazines and pour coffee. They are so much like us, but also very different. As different as a llama is from an alpaca. Amen to that.
Sir?
Yes?
I'm just finishing up. I went ahead and put a cap on that shutoff duck into the area port just in case, but I didn't know if y'all were planning on putting the front piece on the flange cover or just leaving it like that. I think it's okay like that. It's fine. It's just a matter of taste. The faceplate we have on now is a 3/4, and I can always drop a line into the relay and mask off the top portion. As far as code and all, though, you are all fine. All right. That's fantastic. I appreciate it. All right, well, I'll just leave y'all to it. All right, thank you.
Who's he?
I have no idea.
Who's the tradesman?
I have no idea.
Didn't you hire him?
I don't think so.
What was he working on?
I have no clue. I think he was in the basement.
We should go down there and try to figure out what he was working on.
What do we look for?
I guess something that we didn't know was broken, but is now fixed.
Okay.
Furnace looks the same.
Water heater looks the same.
Portal into another dimension.
Okay, that's new.
Are you sure? Maybe there were just boxes in front of it and he moved them.
No, I think that might be new. Did we have it installed?
Maybe we do it in the future.
It would maybe show up here first because we initiate it in the future. Well, let's just check on it occasionally. Then maybe we'll catch up to it in our timeline.
What's this? A box of old memories.
Look at that. Let's make some tea and go through our old memories.
Are you sure you want to look through old memories?
What do we have to fear? Oh, wait. On top. It's a memory of calling the repairman. Look at this picture. He's working on the furnace.
So maybe the portal into another dimension is just a coincidence.
Had it not been for getting the furnace repaired, we would never have found it.
But what do we use it for?
I say to stir things up. By going through it, we'll maybe shake things up a bit. Stop living in a rut. See the world from a different angle.
Let's just go back and forth in it so that we constantly jump from one possible world to the next without having to depend on consequences to lead to the next thing.
One day, Hardy White woke up and everything was just the way it was the day before. Almost exactly the same. He walked into the kitchen, and instead of it being the kitchen, it was a room on a spaceship with a view out into the cosmos, just the way it was every day when he woke up. There he was, with his imaginary friends drinking coffee and arguing over the nature of reality, just the way he did every morning. And as reassuring and comforting as it was, it made Hardy feel a little troubled that things hadn't really changed, and yet so much time had elapsed between yesterday and today.
Good morning, time-traveling space buddies. How goes our journey through the cosmos?
It couldn't be better.
I love space. It's my favorite part of music. Is there any space coffee this morning?
You know it.
Awesome.
Oh, you're both still here.
Good morning, Butchie.
I was just having the most fantastic dream in which you were both killed in an explosion, and I had all of eternity to read my precious books, and I don't wear glasses, so it was all good.
Sorry to disappoint you.
It's okay. I'm not much of a reader.
So, you guys, let me get your opinion on something.
What is it?
So, look at this view through the forward view screen.
That looks like a backyard. Where'd you get that picture?
That is the view from the forward view screen.
Where's all the space and the stars?
I don't know. That's what was on when I turned on the view screen this morning.
That can't be what's actually out there.
It must be a picture.
I don't know. We'll have to go out and check it later.
You mean a spacewalk? Not me, brother. That's not in my job description.
It's totally in your job description. You're an astronaut.
Astronaut means lying in a cot, reading manuals, and occasionally showing kids on Earth how to catch floating toothpaste with your mouth.
It means exploring the ship's surroundings when we don't know where we are.
I know where I am. Deep space. Far away from bosses and anyone checking on whether I'm actually doing my job. Besides, by my calculations, the people who sent us into space are long dead.
It's been a month. How do you figure?
I don't know for sure, but I have hope.
Space looks like different things in different locations. Maybe this part of space looks like a backyard.
Could be.
Is that a sycamore?
It's a silver maple.
I'll be.
It looks just like an ordinary backyard. What do you think, Butchie? Butchie?
Look, he's in the backyard!
It's a backyard!
Butchie!
It's a backyard. There.
How did we go from being in deep space to suddenly being in a backyard?
Might be the dimensional portal in the hold.
Oh, right. We had that repairman working on the dimensional portal right before we left. We might have passed through that on the way to the bathroom or something and accidentally changed dimensions or possible worlds or whatever.
So I wonder where we are now.
Who cares? You guys are always asking, where are we? When are we? I can't imagine caring about that.
Well, what are you curious about?
Lots of things. That's why I read the paper. I'm curious.
You read the same paper over and over every day.
And don't you find that curious?
Since the backyard is part of the universe, doesn't exploring that count as space exploration?
I guess. I mean, other planets are worth exploring.
You know, we were cool astronauts. And now you're just a couple of goofballs who are going to walk around a backyard pretending to explore space. That is much less cool.
All work in the service of gaining knowledge for mankind is cool, Butchie.
Okay, then go look at interesting bugs in the flower garden then. I'm going to stay here and read this article I always read.
You're just jealous because we get to wear spacesuits.
I was just out there in my pajamas. You don't need to wear a spacesuit.
Well, I like to wear them. They make me feel put together and ready to do important work.
I might pass on wearing mine. It's kind of stuffy.
Suit yourself. Or rather, don't suit yourself.
Butchie, you just gonna stay here?
Yeah, I won't fly off and leave you or anything.
Well, that's not what I meant. I mean, are you coming?
No. I'm not gonna fly off or anything.
I know.
That would be wrong, right?
Don't fly off, please.
Whatever.
Lou? Let's go explore this new world.
Seems like an ordinary backyard.
It does, but looks can be deceiving.
I know, like Butchie looks nice.
Yep.
And I hear they use mashed potatoes for ice cream on film sets. And sometimes the actors are made of paper mache, and the film is just electricity and imagination, and the stars are actually pinpricks, and Andy Serkis is actually a CGI creation animated by a monkey with ping pong balls glued to its face.
Lou, let's focus on our surroundings.
Look at that old potting shed. I wonder if it's an ordinary potting shed or some weird gateway to our fears.
Well, there's only one way to find out. And it's just a potting shed, Lou.
A what now?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, we are very delighted you could come and play some music for our residents today. They enjoy music, and for many of them, it's their only connection to their memories, so we hope you know some songs from their era.
I actually don't know very many songs. I have some of my own songs I've written.
Oh. Well, still, it's very generous of you to come out and do this for the residents.
So, by the residents, you mean the Avant-Garde Multimedia Art Collective?
No, I mean the older folks who live here in this old folks' home.
Right, I thought maybe you meant that.
And again, we appreciate you volunteering to share your music today. Friends, everyone, today we have a real treat. The musician, Hardy White, is going to share his musical talents with us today. So let's give him a real warm Woodmont welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Coming through the door so fast. Don't know how much time has passed. Coming through the door right now, coming through the door, y'all.
Oh, y'all hate this, don't you? I'm so sorry. I'm volunteering here because I thought that it would make me feel better. But I wasn't even thinking about you, what you needed. You'd probably like to hear songs from when you were young, and I don't even know any of them. I haven't bothered to learn any. I'm just up here playing my own songs because I'm so desperate for an audience and nobody will pay me to play it. So I'm giving it away, and I'm making it look like I'm doing something important or making some sacrifice. It's like if somebody asks you for food and you say, I gave them a lot of food. You gave them bags of leftover Halloween candy. That doesn't count, see? That was just something you were going to throw away anyway. And here I am so embarrassed to be standing in front of you because someday I know I'll be old. And what will I want to hear? I don't know. Probably somebody come in and play the Breeders or something. I really don't know. I'm so sorry, y'all. I think this is just a nightmarish fear I have of that I have to perform for an audience and they don't really want me there. And the last thing I remember is that I was walking in to a potting shed.
So, is it just an ordinary potting shed?
No, it's some kind of gateway to your greatest fear.
All right, well, I'll make a mental note of that. Let's forge ahead.
This is Late Night Overseas Radio with George Howe, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you in the middle of the night from far, far away to stimulate your imagination and to keep you company when you are alone, because you are, in fact, alone. Are you alone? You might want to be, because what I am about to relate to you is of such a nature that it is best kept secret. The government doesn't want you to know. The church doesn't want you to know. Corporations don't want you to know. Your parents don't want you to know. Heck, I don't want you to know. But I am compelled to tell you, because a good story should never be hoarded. And this is a good story, ladies and gentlemen. It came to my attention when I met a mysterious fellow in a quaint pub years ago, and he told me of a man named Hardy White. At least they assumed it was a man and assumed that was his name because he was a strange and mysterious figure who insisted he had just returned from ancient Tibet. That's right, not modern Tibet, but ancient Tibet. He also said he had been to the Middle Ages in France and talked with blind Kabbalists about the future of the world. Now, all this might sound fantastic if it weren't for the fact that he consistently proved himself right in all the predictions he gave, which have now come true. It was a few years back, but he said that a submarine from a long-ago war would be raised from the depths of the sea at the same time a modern one sunk, and in fact, the Civil War submarine, the Hunley, came up, salvaged, just as the Russian sub, the Kursk, was sinking. This is a fact no one could have known unless they had traveled time. Oh, George, it's so late and you're so far away. You're scaring me. Nonsense. We know there are mysterious people abounding, that there are things right around the corner we cannot either see or predict. The only thing we can predict is that the world is unpredictable and full of secrets. The least I can do is tell you about some, about how this fellow Hardy White faded in and out of my vision as I was talking to him. He briefly became other people who didn't know anything about Hardy. He faded away once and turned into a tourist from Ireland who was shocked when I insisted he finished telling me about the Red Feast ritual in Tibet. I wonder if that tourist was in some way Hardy and didn't know it, or completely different altogether.
I'm exploring space. I'm exploring the whole universe. This isn't my car, it's the flying sub. Or something else. It's on the radio.
It's Artie's show.
There is one room and many doors.
Oh, I love this one.
The universe that we
one
live
room,
in.
One room, many doors.
One big hotel.
It's my favorite
I
episode.
I mentioned before about a recurring dream I have about.
I can't
hotels.
Believe it's a repeat,
in fact,
but I'm really
it so
happy.
Many times that this show is becoming a recurring dream about a hotel.
Oh, I love this one.
But if something keeps popping up in your imagination or in your unconscious or something, you ought to take a good hard look at it.
Oh, my friends, where am I? When am I?
When I think about being on the radio, I always hope that it's late at night. I know it isn't always where you're listening, but the farther you are east, the later it is. And I always had fantasies of being on the radio late at night, keeping someone company, both of us, alone. You at your job where you have to sit in a lobby all by yourself all night long with little or no company, just a straw and a drink, and a radio to make you feel a little less afraid. And me, all alone at the microphone, late at night, just in our little world. The world has shrunk. Everyone is gone. Where is everybody? Oh, they'll be back tomorrow. They'll be back tomorrow, but they're not here right now. Right now, we are the only people in the world. When I was a child, I would get in my covers under the bed. I mean, under the covers in the bed. Sometimes I would get under the bed. It depends how frightened I was. Usually I would get in the bed under the covers. And while everybody else in the house was asleep, I would be asleep too. But sometimes I wouldn't. Sometimes I would wake up. And when I did, I would try to imagine things. I would try to recreate the world now that I was alone in it. I would recreate it the way that I would want it. And so I imagined sometimes that I was in a spaceship in space all alone. I would look out the little window and there was just darkness and stars. And I was all by myself, and you would think that this would be terrifying. And you would also probably think, well, that lacks a little bit of imagination. I would think that you would imagine something a little more colorful, you know, to imagine that you're in a dark spot alone when that's in fact where you really are. Doesn't seem like much of a stretch. I know. But for some reason, in my childish imagination, it was always that. It was either in the hold of an old ship, that's left over from I'm Another Generation. We read things like Treasure Island. Or it was in a spaceship, or sometimes I was in a car going down the highway at night. I don't know who was driving. Hopefully not an axe murderer or something. And it would be in these solitary kind of spaces that I would feel that my mind was the most expansive. And yet I wasn't really thinking anything. I love to be company for you, though. Especially because in this scenario, you don't have much of a choice, do you? You're going to listen to whoever you listen to. If you are, in fact, working a night job and you're all alone and you have no one to be with, why, then I'm the perfect fit. It's just like somebody drifted by with a cup of coffee and said, hey, you want to hear a long, dull story? And you say, right now, yes, anything. It's like being on an overseas flight. You will watch any movie. I'll say, I'll watch anything that's put in front of me. This movie that I normally wouldn't watch because it got one star or something, or it got a big thumbs down, got 2% on Rotten Tomatoes or something, I'm going to watch it. And I am going to slowly savor these pretzels. And I'm going to be lost, and the world will become timeless, and I won't have any consciousness of time or space or anything. Everything will be disconnected like that. I won't know where I am, and I won't know when I am. And that seems to be the source of all my problems. The things that give me anxiety, I have to think about where am I supposed to be and when. I got to be there at 8 a.m. They want me there. What if I'm not there? And so I would fantasize that I was invisible or I disappeared or people had forgotten about me and I could live life without any sort of obligation that people weren't making me be in a place or at a certain time and that I was literally just alone in a spaceship because isn't that what a planet is anyway? No, it isn't really. It isn't really a ship because you can't get in it. I guess you could get in a cave. And you say, well, now I'm in a proper spaceship, but you can't steer the world, can you? Can you steer the world? You can make it go in different directions metaphorically. You can say, well, I'm going to make the world a better place or a worse place, and I'm going to do that by inventing some sort of sauce that tastes like socks or something like that. Say, no, that is not could make it better or worse, depending on what people's tastes are. You know, a lot of the bacteria that we have on our feet is actually very desirable in food. And we put our foot bacteria in foods such as, sock pudding and things like that. I think some cheeses have very similar bacteria because it is, in fact, bacteria that gives cheese its unique flavor, except for the ones that don't have the bacteria. So they don't have that flavor. And some barely have any milk because they're made from a type of oil. Is that indeed still cheese? How far can we stretch the definition? How far can we stretch every definition? Let's take, for example, the word chair. What constitutes a chair? First of all, a Barcelona chair or some sort of designer chair like that, but also a simple cardboard box. Except you want to make sure you don't put it the wrong end up, because then you could sit on it and you'd fall into the cardboard box like that, and you'd look like a cat trying to get out of a card. Why are you in that cardboard box, you silly cat? Are you pooing in it? No, I just fell through because I thought it was a chair, and it's not. It's a box. That's an example of sitting on a box, but there's many other examples of using your mind expansively. I love that we can be together like this. Right now I have all the lights off, so I have no idea if I'm really even on the radio. I hope I am, because I could be wasting a lot of time right now speaking into nothing. And there is some sort of furry thing in front of me. I don't really want to know what that is if it's not a microphone. I hope it is. I hope it's not a giant gloved index finger. I was like, uh-oh, boy, am I in trouble now. A lot of the stories that I remember as a child involved giants. And I like that because it made me feel as a child that I could scurry around in this house under the feet of a giant like I was a little mouse. And little mice have wonderful worlds in the walls. They chew through the wainscoting, is that what it's called? And they make a little door, a little threshold. And then they drag your garbage in there, and they're very creative with it. And they make, we talked about chairs earlier, they make them out of spools of thread. They can make a table out of chewing tobacco, snuff tin. Make a lot of furniture out of snuff tins. Now, you say, well, I don't dip snuff. How am I mice going to get furniture? A lot of people ask that question. I can't tell you how many times that's come up. I say, be creative. You could put all little stuff down there. Just lay things on the floor that you think like an old pair of dice or something. It's amazing what these mice can do with it. What would make a good rug? A piece of rug would make a good big rug. Think of it that way, too. If a small bit of something could make a big bit of it for them. So a little torn off piece of cardboard is like a crazy wall poster for them. You don't make great posters? Match covers. Tear off a match cover and give it to them. They love that because a lot of times they have very kind of campy art or something like that. That'd be neat for the little mouse house. And we would sneak in there and we could go in there and the mice are away. So we don't have to fear them. We can lay in their bed like a sort of tinier version of Goldilocks. But right now they're out of town and we're using the little mouse holes as sort of Airbnb. I see that the tiny mouse has left the non-dairy creamer. I think I'll give it a whirl. Oh, it's rat poison. Be careful. I don't know if they said we could use their stuff. Hiding in tiny little nooks like that, finding secret spaces. This is another longtime fantasy of mine. I would crawl under those covers and I would think, I wonder if there's a place I could crawl even lower in the bed, whether there was some sort of hatch in the bed and I could go down even farther and there would be some beautiful world. I might have gotten that from rabbit hole story? What's it called? Somebody in the Alice goes down the rabbit hole mirror? The mirror hole? Or something? She finds a mirror on the ground. She goes, is this a hole? And she jumps in it. It breaks. But then it shatters reality. And she is transported to some other place. We'll figure it out what happens there. But it's cozy and she's somehow in control, even though things are weird and mysterious. I would explore caves in my imagination. They're some of my favorite places to go in my mind. Why won't you come with me? Why won't you come with me? Are you coming with me? Why won't you come with me? It depends how I say it. I think you should come with me. I think you should come with me right now. I think we should walk out of this place right now and into our imaginations. Why? Why do you keep talking about going into your head? I can go into my head all I want. I can go into it any time of day, Hardy. I don't need you to guide me. Really? Can you?
Or are you afraid to go in there? What's really in there? You think it's full of fears, but what it's really full of is potential. What it's really full of is mystery. Secrets, wonderful things are in your head, but you're not thinking of them because you think everything that you need is on the outside, and you're seeking certain items and things like that that you'll think will give you pleasure, when really inside you have entire worlds, and they're available to you, and they're free. And that's the great secret. And that's why people don't want you to know that, because they would like to sell you some things. But you say, well, I have this free place in my head, and I could potentially go there and have the whole universe, or even more than the universe, because the universe is a place that has reality. I can make whatever I want. I can go beyond reality. People can fly without wings. People can transform into other beings and things like that. There are no limitations. And on the outside, there are limitations. We go to movies so we can see fantasies realized, when we can see fantasies realized in our own heads. My imagination isn't quite that good, Hardy. I cannot see people flying around in tights and doing battle in other planets and things. I can't just see that in my head. Somebody saw it in their head. And that's why you're watching it. They realized it, and you can realize it too. I'm not that creative. Oh, that's such a lie you've been told. I'm here to tell you the opposite, that you are that creative, that you're capable of thinking amazing things, and a lot of them are not true. And that makes it creative. And I'm not saying, you know, lies or anything. I'm saying wonderful, not true things that are essentially true because you've thought them. You can go there now. Where should we go? Our head is wide open. It's open now. It's like an old theme park that's open again. Are you sure it's okay to go in? It looks so crazy and run down. I know, no one's here but us. We can go in and all the rods will mysteriously work. We can go in the old abandoned haunted mansion, which is even better than when there's a haunted mansion that's occupied. This one has been abandoned, designed to scare people, but now there's no one there. Does that make it more scary or less scary? I like being alone in the dark. If I'm not alone, if I'm with you, hearing your voice, you don't hear me, I hear you. Yeah, you, me. Does it matter who's speaking, really? As long as one of us is doing the talking, one of us can do the listening. And you can start thinking things. I don't know what's in your head. That's wonderful. We are doing a sort of exquisite corpse. What's that? Well, that's when the surrealists would take, originally they did it with actual corpses. They would say, each of us, let's go grave robbing. All right? You come back with a head. You come back with a torso. And y'all come back with legs. All right? And then we'll put them together and we'll see what kind of crazy monster corpse we make. And one of them said, hey, here's the thing. I don't know about grave robbing. I'm not sure it's all that cool or anything. Also, I'm a little squeamish. Can we do it with drawings? Can we do it with drawings? Say, yes, you can do it with drawings. And then I've taken it one step farther. Will you do it with nothing? You don't do it with anything at all. No drawings or anything. I start thinking things, then you start thinking things, and you never tell me what you're thinking. I like that. So we're working together, we're collaborating, but we'll never argue because I don't know what you're doing and you don't know what I'm... Well, you know what I'm doing, but I don't know what you're doing. That's perfect. That's perfect. You complete it. When the person made up the Mad Libs or something, do you think they had any right answers in mind? Probably yes. And would it bother them to hear some of the answers that we would give? Yes. Probably. They go, no, that's stupid. That doesn't even fit. That's not even funny. You have to anticipate what the funny is. No, why? Why? All minds work a little bit differently, don't they? That's why you got to have different people when you go on those exploring missions. We say, one of you, we want her to be a scientist. Another one of you, we want her to be an athlete. And this fella here, he's got a nice stick we could use for something. Bring your stick man.
And somebody over here, they have a PhD in everything. Let's bring them and say that we all go into the cave together because somebody will have what we need. Comb guy, do you have your comb with you?
Yes.
Well, we need it right now. That's the perfect thing we need. Flashlight man.
Yes.
I have it. So that's what we need. We need diversity like that. Think different things. Great thing, too, is we can be subversive, you and I. We can think things that others might not want us to think. And we don't even have to say what they are. Right now, I want to think some subversive thoughts with you. Oh, they're great, aren't they? That's wonderful. Mine are that we are powerful beings. Mine are that we are capable of love. Mine are that we needn't be fearful. That you can banish fear from your life. That you needn't be dependent on those who would keep you fearful for their own gain and power. I know. Don't say that out loud. Don't say it out loud. Keep that to yourself. Don't buck the system. Hey, a lot of people say this. Hardy, I'm not idealistic. I'm realistic. I have to be both. I have to have one foot in idealism and the other foot in realism. But let's make sure that other foot is in realism and not in cement. A lot of times people mistake that. They say, well, you know, I'm trying to compromise between the freedom of the human mind and spirit and those who wish us to be oppressed. So I have to see their point of view too, or we're just not going to get things done. Really. Oh, in the cosmic battle for freedom of the human spirit, we don't think that way. We think about expanding our minds, expanding our thoughts, being more than we are, not being content with the way things are, not being content with injustice. Oh, I tell you, out here in my imagination, I am sometimes a tyrant and a ruler. I rule with compassion, though. But I have to be tyrannical over those that would oppress and hurt. And I'm so mighty that I don't have to hurt them. When I see the beings, I just transform into a giant being. And I'm able to pick up that bully and say, hey, you cut this out. I am serious. I'm going to keep picking you up and moving you out of the way until you see that you need to get your heart right. So I'm not punishing or hurting the bully, see, but I'm just so powerful that I can pick him up like a little, he's like a G.I. Joe. What era G.I. Joe? The smaller ones or the large 60s ones? I don't know. I got to think about it. I got to think. I don't know. I'm looking at my hand. I can't tell how big that bully is. I'm pretty giant. I'm pretty gigantic being. I don't know how I got this way. I guess because I'm creating the universe and everything. Whatever. You get to be the biggest thing in it if you think you're the center of it. Don't you? No? Maybe not? Maybe because you aren't? Oh, I wonder what it was like when giants roamed the earth, when people had to go outside and go, oh, there's giants. I don't know how I feel about them. You know, they're fine. They get drunk and they go to the pub and they cause a lot of damage by completely and utterly destroying it. But on the other hand, they're people, aren't they? Just with larger skulls that you can live in, which are neat. I had one as a shed, a giant skull. It was wonderful. We painted it. I mean, it wasn't just the bone, because they have an odor when you get them. And you've got a couple coats of paint to kill that, what is that, like rotten meat or something? But then the smell gets out of it, and you've got a neat little shed with a couple windows. And, you know, you can go in and out of the mouth hole. That's not really a hole. Well, you know how the skull works. Don't you? Haven't you seen pictures and books? Or don't you have one? I keep my brains in one. Like it's a sort of jar. I know that's weird. They're not going to be there forever, though. The human lifespan is so short and so long, depending on how you look at it. You know, if you're bored, oh, this life is really long. It can be very long. But if I told you you had an hour left, okay, and we have less than an hour, 15 minutes left, not to live. Well, I don't know. You might have 15 minutes left to live. I hope not. But what would you do differently? What would you do differently? Would you do anything? Or would you think lots of things? Oh, use that brain while you have it.
It's an amazing thing. Now, you probably don't have complete mastery over it. No one does. And the brain has a bit of an agenda of its own. And it likes to think about things on its own that you don't want it to think about. Sometimes it will even torment you. I know, this is crazy. That one place where you can be free, you're saying, Hardy, I can't, though. Sometimes my brain torments me. Oh, come use mine then or something. Oh, I feel for you. I know how it is to feel badly sometimes. Sometimes, though, I have instants of joy and real freedom when my mind isn't playing tricks on me or doing something awful. And I run to that little instant of joy and I try to make it larger. I try to make that second all eternity because I'm convinced that eternity lies in between those seconds. How can there be seconds? How can there be increments of time? Time must be infinite, and the infinity must lie between numbers, between instants, between the words I'm saying. There must be infinity. And it's only limited by how fast my brain can actually think, because that too is a finite thing, isn't it? I'm not thinking very quickly. Yeah, I know you're not. I know. But I'm limited because of the speed of light or something like that, I'm sure. I'm sure my brain would work faster if I was someplace else, not on radio. Oh, my friends, it's so good to be with you and to keep you company like this. Are we staying awake? How much longer? You going, friend, it's early evening. I'm not at work. I just got home. So, and the house is full. So really, I'm listening to you over a bunch of voices. I'm hardly paying attention. You're really not keeping me company. Oh, I know, but now they got the recordings and everything. I know it's different than hearing it over the actual ether. Ether is like vinyl. You know, it imparts some sort of quality that the internet doesn't have. When you're picking something up with an actual radio, when you're listening to a broadcast with an actual radio, and there can be interference or there's some other weird thing. I don't know whether you're picking up aliens or Russian number stations or there's some other thing mixed in with the voice that's coming to you literally through the air. And that to me is such a different phenomenon than just listening to a recording. And right now I am traveling through the air to you, just you and I, at night. Probably you're in Europe if it's nighttime. Are you? Are you in Europe? Should I speak another language? J'apprends français. Maintenant. Je parle français comme une vache espagnole. I'm not really fluent in any languages, so I don't know how to, but maybe we don't need to be. Maybe there is something about human speech that you don't even need to understand what I'm saying. Maybe it's the way I am saying it. Maybe you can hear in my voice the things that I am trying to convey. Can you hear love in another language? Can you hear that someone cares about you or cares about human beings? Can you hear that in their voice if you don't understand the words? Is there something magical about speech? Is it like music? Can music convey those wonderful things? Can music really calm your heart? Can it really give you the comfort that you need, that your soul craves? Can you get that with music or speech or poetry? Or just a good friend sitting by your side telling you, let's think about something crazy. Let's use our imaginations. Let's pretend. Say, I'm an adult. I don't pretend anything. Lots of adults pretend. They pretend every day that there's somebody they're not. They pretend they're an executive. They pretend they're important. They pretend they know something about the case they're about to try. They pretend all the time. You don't finally just become something. You're always in a state of pretending. Everybody is pretending. Everybody. Nobody is anything particular without trying to be it.
Oh, yes, so why not pretend to be something you're not if it's harmless? Why not in the privacy of your own imagination?
Let that take off in flight, everywhere, every direction, thinking all sorts of things. Who am I? Where am I? When am I? I can be whatever I want, wherever I want, whenever I want. I can do that by reading novels, or I can do that by writing a novel in my head, and I don't even need to remember it. I can just let my thoughts roam. You think you can't do it because you're not used to doing it. You're used to thinking things that are practical. You're used to being told that I must use my time in an efficient way, that I must sit around and think about something, that I must then make it into something. I must sell it. I must sit around and think about the house. How am I going to repair it? I must think about some obligation I have. I can't just sit here and think a frivolous thought for no reason. A lot of people have difficulty with that. Why would I do that? Why would I meet somebody for coffee every night as I was doing my tedious job and we talk about flying to the moon? And not in any serious way. Not the way people have amateur scientific discussions and talk about really what they know about science. I mean two people sitting down and go, let's fly to the moon in a special spaceship that we made out of cardboard and tinfoil, and it works because we got a magic spell from a Tibetan Lama. That's the kind of trip I want to go on. You say, well, that's not real. What is? Okay, I don't want to get into that. Lots of things are, I guess. But I need to go to the moon. I think you do too. I think you need to get in a cardboard spaceship and go to the moon. This is not childish. It has to do with being creative and thinking about other ways to do things. Because you don't realize that you put blinders on. You stop thinking about possibilities. They get eliminated from your vocabulary. And you don't realize that things can be done differently or thought differently or said differently. That you don't have to do the same old thing. That you're not required to build upon someone else's foundation. You can start over. And that foundation can be made of something impractical. Say, I'm going to make a foundation out of gummies. I don't care. I don't mean literal gummies. And then on top of that, I'm going to put pennies. And then on top of that, I'm going to put some kind of fake hair from a fake hair thing. Wig. And then, I don't know, peanut butter, marzipan. Whatever the next layer is, postcards. I don't have to follow any set of rules. And it's standing in my brain. That structure is standing. And it's permanent. Although nothing is. No thoughts we have, nothing we say. That's comforting too. This won't be here. All the things I say and I do, they will all fade away the way the waves take away a sandcastle. No one's ever said that before. No one's ever used that analogy of a sandcastle being eroded by waves as being about time. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. It's about time. It's about time someone said that. No, everybody says that because it's so obvious. It's very obvious what's going on. The whole world is obvious. We just have our eyes shut a lot of the time. And it's okay to shut it if you're being reverent or you're imagining things. It's okay to shut your eyes. Because your eyes can be shut and your figurative eyes wide open. You can be fearlessly looking at things with your eyes shut. Don't be afraid. Don't turn away. Look at difficult things. Don't be afraid to be thought a fool. Oh, I can't tell you all the tragedies that are unfolding because people are being afraid to thought a fool. They want to seem like they have power. They don't want to be made to look like an idiot. They want to be attractive to other people. They don't want to feel inferior. And that feeling of inferior drives them to horrible, horrible things. They're willing to do anything to get that power, to look as if they're important or smart or noble, as if they're morally good, superior, or they're just have incredible strength. Mental, physical, or emotional. And they don't want to be thought to have any weaknesses. And so they do all sorts of contortions to prevent the reality of their being from being known by anyone, including themselves. And when you lie to yourself, you lie to the only person who you could guarantee to get honesty from. When you deceive yourself, you deprive yourself of the greatest friend in the world, the only person who literally knows all of your secrets. And to hide part of you from you is tragic. And I believe it's what created this tragic world we live in. Some say when it was created, the Creator was lying to itself, obscuring part of itself from itself. And it made a fragmented world where the one hand doesn't know the other hand belongs to it, where a human being and an elephant and bacteria don't know that they're the same thing, they're all life, that all these elements, all these molecules think they're different things when they're the same thing, because the space in between them is a blindness. And you have become blind to your own heart and to your own thoughts. And when you do that, you create tragic universes. So what if we had a great awakening and everybody woke up to the mysteries of their own soul, to their own thoughts, and they accepted themselves and they loved themselves, not at the expense of others. People think that means that's not part of it. If you're going to give up power over someone else, then that's not the same kind of self-love. Do you understand? Yeah, no, this is different. This is about being who you are. And who knows who that is? And no one knows who you are. And you may never know. That's the first mystery. Is that what does it mean to even be alive? This is crazy and wonderful. Oh, I'm glad we experience it together, my friends. These crazy, wonderful times we have. These hours that go by so quickly. But I'm glad to be able to share them with you. What are you listening to? Well, it's Miracle Nutrition. That's the name of the show. And what's it on? WFMU. East Orange. WMFU Mount Hope. 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York. And online worldwide at WFMU.org. Oh, I thank you so much for being my radio friend. And I hope that we can do this every week. Bring your brain. Bring a cup of coffee. Let's crawl under the covers. We don't have to be under the covers together. I'll be under the bed. Or I'll just be in the other room. Or I can be in the same room, sitting on this chair, which is in fact a cardboard box. I won't start that again. And you can be there, and we'll talk like this. We can talk like this until one of us is gone. Won't that be nice? So friends, thank you for joining me, and I'll see you again next week.